Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back to continue walking through the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. Before we open Ruth chapter 3, here's a quick recap from the previous months. So in Ruth chapter 1, we saw emptiness. Naomi and Ruth faced famine, loss, and grief. Yet God was still present, walking with them in their return. And then in Ruth chapter 2, hope began to rise. Ruth the foreigner found unexpected favor in Boaz's field. We learn to live like Ruth with faith, love like Boaz with kindness, and trust like Naomi in God's providence. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. When life feels uncertain, we know you are there for us and with us. Help us to learn from the story of Ruth today how we can treat one another with love, kindness, and still have your righteousness. Be with us and also be with those who cannot come today. Either they are on vacation or are not feeling well. Please be with them so they can also find rest in you. In this name we pray. Amen. So in Ruth chapter 3, the story begins with love. Naomi's love for Ruth. She said in verse 1, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for." Ruth had no obligation to stay with Naomi, yet her love and loyalty redefined family, not by bloodline, but by devotion and covenant love. So now Naomi, moved by love in return, longed for Ruth to have rest, security, and a true home. But her plan was anything but ordinary. Let us read from verse 2 to verse 5. "Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." So when you hear that, what picture comes to mind? It feels awkward. Maybe even scandalous. So all the mothers, can you imagine giving your daughter that kind of advice? "Honey, sneak out at night, uncover his feet, and lie down." That's not exactly the kind of wisdom you'll find in Parenting 101. Yet Naomi's plan was specific, so detailed it seems she could picture every step. I'm like Naomi. I'm not even like Ruth, you know, because Ruth is such an obedient woman. Just like, no, I have to plan every single thing in my head. Remarkably, she could even anticipate how Boaz would respond. And here's the lesson for us. Our lives also follow a plot, whether shaped by love, ambition, or our own desires. But behind both our plans and Naomi's plan is God's greatest story, one far bigger than we could ever imagine. In Ruth, God's redemptive storyline unfolds not through grand miracles, but through quiet acts of ordinary obedience. So let me ask you, what does the plot of your life look like right now? Do you like the way it is unfolding? Or are there chapters you wish you could be rewritten? Most importantly, have you recognized God's presence in your story? I know for myself, there are chapters I'd rather erase and start over. But the good news is this, my story and your story isn't finished yet. God is still at work, shaping, molding, and renewing us according to His will. And if you are in a season where the plot doesn't make sense, I want to encourage you, don't carry it alone. Share it with the body of Christ. Let us walk with you, pray with you, celebrate with you, and even cry with you. So after the service, we'll have a time of prayer. I invite you to come and share your requests, your joys, your burdens, so that together we can experience God's presence in our stories. Naomi's plan shows us that love longing sets the plot in motion. But a plot alone is not enough. It has to be lived out. And this is where faith steps in. Ruth doesn't just hear Naomi's plan. She acts on it. That brings us to the second point, the plan, faith in motion. From verse 6 to 7, so she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Naomi instructed Ruth to wash, anoint herself, put on her best clothes, and go to the threshing floor. It was a bold plan, and from a human perspective, risky. Because faith often looks risky when viewed from the threshing floor. Yet Ruth didn't argue. I would ask why, you know? Why should I do that? She obeyed. She placed her trust in Naomi's guidance. But that obedience came with real risk. If things didn't unfold as Naomi envisioned, Ruth could have borne serious consequences. Simply being seen sneaking onto the threshing floor at night might have ruined her reputation. People could have judged her as immoral, and as a foreign widow, her standing was already fragile. If Boaz misunderstood or rejected her, it would bring shame and humiliation, and she would still have to face him in the fields. Word could spread quickly through the town, intensifying the stigma she already carried as a Moabite. And most of all, if the plan failed, Ruth would lose possibility of security and a home, leaving both her and Naomi vulnerable once again. Still, Ruth stepped forward with courage. She knew the cost could be high, yet she chose faith and obedience to Naomi over fear. And that's where Ruth's story meets ours. Fail still carries risk. Choosing to trust God's plan instead of our own can feel uncertain. People may misunderstand us. We might face setbacks. We may fear losing security. But like Ruth, we are invited to step forward in obedience, believing that God is at work behind the scenes. So let me ask you, have you ever hesitated to obey because you were afraid of what it might cost? Have you ever felt God nudging you to take a step of faith, but worried how others might see you or what you might lose? The real question is this: will we let fear hold us back? Or will we move in faith, trusting the God who is writing a greater story. In the 21st century, faith still feels risky. For some, it may seem trusting God with a career decision that doesn't look safe on paper. For others, it may mean choosing generosity when it feels easier to hold on, or offering forgiveness when it feels safer to stay guarded. I'm glad, you know, when I was 18, I responded to God's call, even though, you know, I'm not really working as a pastor full time, but because of that decision to follow his call, I landed in Taiwan and I come here, and then I'm just like, my goodness, you know, if I follow my own plan, I would not have stand here and then preach to all of you, you know, and then just like counting the blessing that God has for me every single day because I chose to respond to his call. And then like Ruth, we may worry about our reputation, our security, or what we might lose. But faith in motion means stepping forward anyway, trusting that God is weaving our small acts of obedience into his greater story. Ruth's faith moved her into action. She trusted Naomi, she obeyed the plan, and she stepped onto the threshing floor with courage. But faith in motions always leads to a moment of response, and ultimately, how will God respond? That brings us to our third point, the execution. The bold faith, the gentle response. And verse 8 to 15. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family."
"The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than what that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger man, whether rich or poor.
And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could recognize, and he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. So at midnight, Ruth uncovered Boaz's feet and humbly asked, "Spread your wings over me, for you are a redeemer." To us, Naomi's instruction may sound unusual, maybe even questionable, but in Hebrew tradition, this was a symbolic way of requesting marriage and protection. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer, a relative responsible for caring for widows in the family. And this law was designed to protect widows from poverty and preserve family inheritance. So the next time, if your daughter cannot find a man, tell her, go uncover the feet. Not go online, okay? So now Ruth's request might have seemed contradict other laws that warn against Moabites entering the assembly or against marrying foreign women. Yet the law also commanded care for the widow, the poor, and the foreigner. The book of Ruth brings those tensions together and shows God's heart leaning toward redemption, inclusion, and care. We know this tension ourselves. Sometimes the laws of the land feel complicated or even unjust. Immigration laws, for example, leave many in vulnerable situations. As an immigrant who entered this country legally through a visa and paid a lot of tuition fee, work, and taxes, I often wrestle with how to view those who came without papers or overstayed a visa. But before giving my perspective, let's look at Boaz. What did he do? First, he blessed Ruth by letting her glean in his field, protecting her dignity not with a handout, but with honest word. And when Ruth asked for protection through marriage, he did not shame her or dismiss her as a Moabite. Instead, he responded with honor, promise, and care. So, what do we do when government law and our faith seem to clash? Boaz shows us we reflect God's greater law of love. When God brings vulnerable people across our path, immigrants, widows, outsiders, neighbors, our call is the same, to reflect Christ by offering dignity, fairness, and compassion instead of judgment. I have met undocumented immigrants, and most are simply people wanting to live in peace. One of them said, "Ruth, I paid a lot of money to the coyote." "What's coyote?" "Oh, it's the smugglers, okay? And then I have to walk through the river. I don't even know how to swim." I'm just like, oh my goodness, how do I treat them? I remember they are created in God's image. If they work for me, I make sure they are paid fairly and treated with dignity. I do not know when someone might cross our path with bold faith and in their own way ask us to spread your wings over them. Help me. But I pray that when that moment comes, we respond like Boaz with compassion and honor. Because the phrase, "corner of your garment," "cover me with the corner of your garment," can mean garment of wing. It is the same imagery God used in Ezekiel 16:8 when he entered covenant with Israel. And it echoes Boaz's earlier blessing that Ruth would find refuge under the Lord's wings. God used Boaz to provide that refuge. So may we, living under God's covenant love, extend the same love to others. And may the execution of our faith be marked by humility so that heaven responds with grace. And then point number four, the executor, the redeemer who will not rest. We have seen the plot begins with love, longing. We have watched the plan take shape as faith in motion, and we have witnessed the execution. Ruth's bold faith met by Boaz's gentle response. But the story does not end there. A plan without follow-through is still unfinished. Someone must carry it through to completion. This is where Boaz steps forward, not just as a responder, but as the one who takes responsibility. And in verses 16 to 18, when Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me this six measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed." Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Boaz didn't just make a promise. He took responsibility. He became the executor of redemption, moving the story toward resolution. His determination foreshadows Christ, the greater redeemer. Jesus did not simply plan our redemption, he executed it. At the cross, he bore our sin and secured our salvation. And just as Boaz would not rest until Ruth was redeemed, Jesus will not rest until his work is finished in us. In the Bible, it reminded us, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So here's the encouragement. We can rest because our Redeemer will not rest. He's faithful to finish what he started. Ruth began in emptiness, and then in chapter 2 brought a glimmer of hope. In chapter 3 set redemption in motion. But the story is not complete. Boaz has declared his intent, but promises must be fulfilled. The executor must carry it to the city gate, where redemption moves from promise to completion. And in Ruth chapter 4, that redemption will be sealed, not only bringing a home for Ruth and Naomi, but establishing the very line that leads to King David, and ultimately to Jesus, the Redeemer of the world. So today, we rest in the executor's promise, and we look forward with hope to full completion of redemption. Now I'm going to finish Ruth chapter 4 in the future. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we have our hope in you, that you are not going to rest. You are like Boaz, or Boaz is like you, who will do whatever he can to save Naomi and Ruth. Father, please use us like Boaz. Show a lot of kindness to people who are in need, and help us that we can have the faith like Naomi and Ruth, and the obedience. May we use your word this week to show kindness to people. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.